Well, if you've got a Bible in front of you, if you could open up to Psalm 23. As I said, one of the most familiar passages of Scripture in all of the Bible. I'm sure more than a dozen people in this room have got the 23rd Psalm somewhere in their house, on a plaque, on a wall, or something like that. And so we're in familiar territory. But I'd like us just to look this morning at the picture that the 23rd Psalm is painting for us, the picture that David paints for us. Many people, when they think of David writing this psalm, they think of a young shepherd boy in a nice green pasture with little sheep all around him and a nice gently flowing stream. And there David, this young shepherd boy, is penning a psalm with no troubles in the world on his mind. Well, actually, the truth of the matter is probably that this psalm was penned much later in life. And actually, it's thought by many that David wrote the 23rd Psalm whilst his son Absalom was attempting to take his kingdom from him. If you read the second book of Samuel in chapters 13 to 19, you'll see that his son Absalom rebels against him and takes many people from Israel with him in the rebellion. And David has to flee Jerusalem, and David is once again on the run. David writes this psalm as a picture. It's an illustration. And the illustration is of a shepherd leading his flock. He leads his flock from the pasture where they are feeding, down into the valley, and eventually to the sheepfold where they will spend the night. And verse 1 explains to us that the Lord is that shepherd. The Lord is that shepherd leading his people through this life and ultimately to their eternal rest. So we've got 3 points this morning. We're going to look at the sheep in the pasture. We're going to look at the sheep in the valley. And we're going to look at the sheep in the sheepfold. And at the end, we're going to try and see what we can learn from it all. So let's begin. The pasture. The first 3 verses. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The Lord is my shepherd. When I was growing up in Camberwell, central London, I didn't see many sheep. I once saw a goat at Vauxhall City Farm, but I didn't really see many sheep. Sometimes if we were driving through the country, I would look up, and you would see the rolling green hills of England, and they would look beautiful. And on those green hills, though, you would see lots and lots of sheep. And as we think of a sheep in the UK, we have to think, really, that their life is pretty easy, isn't it? There's lots of grass. There's lots of rain. There's very few wild animals who can put them in danger. And therefore, a sheep can survive very happily in the UK without a shepherd. They sit on the tops of hills for days without anyone coming to tend to them. And in fact, it's very seldom in the UK that you actually see a shepherd. But in Israel, things are very different. Life for a sheep in Israel is hard. The land is mostly wilderness. You might see the odd shrub here and there or the odd patch of dry grass, but most of the time you will see wilderness country. And therefore, a sheep without a shepherd in the land of Israel, far from being an easy life, a sheep without a shepherd in Israel will simply die. Either through lack of food or lack of water, or because it's bitten by a snake or eaten by a wild animal, a sheep in Israel without a shepherd doesn't stand a chance. The shepherd is essential to the sheep's survival. Therefore, this picture of a shepherd leading his sheep is a wonderful illustration of Christ leading his people, caring and providing for his people through their lives on earth. And as we look at verse 1, we see David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." David's words are personal words, aren't they? There may have been many, many sheep in the flock, yet the shepherd knew everyone by name. And the sheep knew him by his voice. In fact, Jesus says, doesn't he? He says, "And when he brings out his own sheep," speaking of the shepherd, "he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." There's a relationship that exists between the shepherd and his sheep. Each one is as precious as the next, and although the shepherd may care for the communal needs of the flock, he also cares for each individual sheep, and he knows their individual needs. And therefore David can speak personally. He can say, "The Lord is my shepherd. He has many sheep, but he knows me, and he knows my needs." And of course, if the shepherd knows the needs of the sheep, then the sheep will not want for anything, will they? And therefore, verse 1, we read, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Or as the NIV puts it, "I shall not be in want." If the Lord is my shepherd and he knows my needs, he can provide for me. And David goes on to explain, doesn't he? He says, verse 2, "He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." Following the rainy season in Israel, there would be lots of grass. There would be lush green areas of grassland. But it didn't last long. And soon enough, grass would become very scarce again. And therefore, the sheep would have to be led from one pasture to the next. Sheep also need water, don't they? But sheep will not drink from a fast flowing stream. And therefore, a shepherd would take some rocks and he would dam up streams. And what would he create? He would create still waters so that the sheep could eat and so that the sheep could drink. So here in verse 2, David is painting a picture for us, isn't it? He's painting a picture of peace. The good shepherd has led his sheep to both food and water, and therefore the sheep can simply enjoy the shepherd's provision. But of course David is saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." And Christ echoes this truth to us, doesn't he? He says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to 33, he says, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Jesus says, do not worry. If your shepherd knows your needs, then he can provide. So verse 2, David is speaking about the provision of his physical needs. And yet when we reach verse 3, we see that David is speaking about the shepherd's care for his spiritual needs. What do we read? We read, "He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness." Me and Sarah, we own a rabbit. I'm not really a fan of the rabbit. I don't like it very much at all. I don't know why we keep a rodent. I don't understand it. But our little rabbit Polo, she's called. She's a real clever thing. She can escape anything. The McNeils tried to look after our rabbit a few months ago. And when we got back, they said we got there one day and she had escaped. Thankfully, we got her back into the run. And a few months ago, I was just doing my own thing in my house and I got a knock on the door. And these two fellas, they said, "Yeah, mate, have you got a rabbit?" I said, "Yeah, we've got a rabbit." And they said, "She's escaped." I said, "Really?" They said, "Yeah, she was in the road a minute ago. And now she's gone back into your back garden. Polo, she's like a little rabbit Houdini. She can get out of anything. She even escaped out of her hutch. And that's got a lock on it. So that's pretty difficult." Well, when Polo escapes, what do I have to do? I have to follow up behind her. And like a kind of predator fox, I have to creep up behind her so that she can't see me. And then I have to pounce. And I have to get her and get her back into her run. Polo is forever escaping, but I'm forever having to go back after her and bring her back. Well, sheep are the same. Sheep are prone to wander. Sheep are prone to find themselves lost. And when this happens, the shepherd leaves the rest of the flock and he sets out to find the lost sheep. And when he finds it, he brings it back. And the sheep is restored. To be restored means to be turned back. That's the literal meaning of the word. And of course, God is good, isn't he? God is good, and in his goodness, he makes a special effort to bring us back when we wander astray. I'm sure that as David penned this psalm, his mind must have wandered back to his awful sin of adultery with Bathsheba and then the eventual murder of Uriah, her husband. David spent a year in an unrepentant state. He had wandered far from God. And yet God was not finished with him, was he? Because in 2 Samuel in chapter 12, verse 1, we read, "Then the Lord sent Nathan to David." The Lord was restoring David's soul. The good shepherd saw that one of his flock had wandered far from the paths of righteousness. And therefore the Lord was going to bring David back. And in the 13th verse of the chapter that I just read to you, we read David admits to Nathan, he says, "I have sinned against the Lord." David, having been exposed, admits his sin. And David was restored. But restored to what? Well, we go on, don't we? We read, "He leads me in paths of righteousness." These paths are well-worn paths that the shepherd would lead the sheep on. Paths which the shepherd knew were free from danger. And having rescued the sheep from danger, he wouldn't simply allow the sheep to find his own way back. The shepherd would lead that little sheep back onto the right path. Back onto the path which was free from danger and which was safe for the sheep. And of course, the Bible, time and time again, likens us to sheep, doesn't it? And like sheep, we find ourselves prone to wander. Like David, we find ourselves falling into sin, doubting God's goodness. We feel our own weakness and we despair at our own weakness sometimes, don't we? And sometimes we find ourselves stubbornly going our own way rather than following the Lord's way. We find ourselves wandering from the well-worn paths of righteousness. And yet God in his goodness, because he is the good shepherd, when his sheep wander astray, God in his goodness follows after us and brings us back. But why does the Good Shepherd show such concern for his sheep? Why does he show such love? Well, the end of verse 3 tells us, we read, for his name's sake. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I don't know whether you ever watch daytime TV. I don't get to watch daytime TV very much, but sometimes when the TV's on, you'll see an advert for the RSPCA come on. I think they only have them during daytime because it's cheaper to advertise during the day and they can't afford it in the evenings. But these adverts for the RSPCA, they last about 1 or 2 minutes. And more often than not, you can see where it's going. There's a little dog and it looks thin and it looks gaunt and its eyes speak of misery. And it's looking up at you and all it wants is £2 a month. And can you just give £2 a month to this little poor dog? Now, anyone who knows me will know that I'm no real fan of animals. But even I feel sorry for this little dog. It looks so sad. It looks so uncared for. And immediately, we have an impression of the owner, don't we? That owner must be unloving. He must be incapable. That owner must be a cruel, cruel man. Well, the same would be true if you were walking through Israel in 1,000 years BC. And you came across a little sheep. And the sheep looked gaunt, it looked thin, it looked like it had been in a fight with a wild animal and lost. And you looked at it and its eyes just spoke of utter despair. You would immediately have a picture of the shepherd, wouldn't you? Immediately, you would think that shepherd is cruel, is uncaring, and is unloving. So, Christian, the Lord cares for his sheep. Why? Because he loves us. And with every act of love and provision, the Lord is proving himself again and again and again to be the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd's care for his sheep glorifies his own name. And therefore, we can read at the end of verse 3 that he leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So the first 3 verses, we're in the pasture. And what is the point that David is making? Well, you know, I think we could sum it up like this. We could say that whether physical or spiritual, the Lord knows my needs and the Lord knows what is best for me. In these first 3 verses, we are simply seeing again and again and again the goodness of the Good Shepherd. If the shepherd cares for the sheep have no need to worry, do they? The sheep might look around him and he might see no food, he may see no water, and he may see many perceived dangers. And yet the shepherd who is leading the sheep is leading them to food. And he is leading them to water. And the shepherd has seen the danger and is avoiding it. And although the sheep may not know what is going on, and although the sheep may not know where the food or the water is, the shepherd does. And because the shepherd does, the sheep can rest secure. Verses 1 to 3 speak of peace. The peace of a sheep in the hands of his good shepherd. But you know, I'd say to us this morning, I wonder, is that peace that we read of in verses 1 to 3, is that peace something which actually feels very foreign to many of us believers. We find ourselves so concerned about the future, don't we? We find ourselves concerned about money, concerned about health, concerned about those forthcoming tests or that forthcoming operation, or members of our family. And sometimes we find ourselves paralyzed by fear. Paralyzed by fear of what may happen. And yet, Christian friend, if the Lord is your shepherd, and if the Lord is leading you, then the Lord knows what is best. And the Lord is leading you where you need to be. Surely, if a sheep can trust a shepherd, surely we can trust our God. Surely we can trust our good shepherd. You know, about a year ago, I was quite worried. Anyone with a young family will know that sometimes money's tight. And I was really worried about money. And I was thinking, you know, we've got a mortgage to pay, we've got bills to pay, what are we going to do? And I was kind of pouring my heart out to Sarah. Now, I don't think she's here, so it's okay to say it. Sarah's a godly wife, and she's able to say the right thing at the right time often. And she said this to me. She said, "You know, you do know God is sovereign, don't you? And God is able to provide." And I said, "Yeah, of course I know that. I know God's sovereign. I know God's able to provide, but..." And she stopped me mid-sentence. And she said, "Tim, if you knew that, you wouldn't be worried." And she was right. If my good shepherd is leading me, if my good shepherd knows what is best for me, then what need have I to worry? Whether physical or whether spiritual, the Lord knows my needs. And yet, of course, there will be for most of us a time in our lives when that particular health issue or those test results or that lump or that phone call in the middle of the night brings very awful news. And there will be for most of us in our lives a time when we will leave the pasture and we will descend into the valley of the shadow of death. And if we've seen the comfort of the Good Shepherd to a living saint, well, now I'd like to see the comfort of the Good Shepherd to one of his dying saints. Let's move into the valley. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Notice in the first three verses, David was speaking about the shepherd, but now he is speaking to him. The wording has changed. He says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." David is probably reflecting on his own situation. He's on the run from Absalom. His life is in danger. His kingdom is in danger. David is in the valley. And that's what the valley is. It's when things look bleak. Death, of course, is the ultimate expression of bleakness. So when things look bleak and we find ourselves in the valley, what does David teach us? Well, the first thing to say is this, that let's remember our illustration. We're sheep, aren't we? Sheep lack good vision and they're easily frightened in new circumstances, especially when it's dark. But the presence of the shepherd calms them. In the valley, this sheep, this David, is not frightened, is he? Even though everything is pointing to danger and strife and fear, David says, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. He says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod was a heavy club. And a shepherd would carry this club so that if any wild animals were to attack, the shepherd could beat the wild animals off, maybe stun them, maybe kill them. And the staff was a long stick, like a shepherd's crook, with which he would lead the sheep and which he would help sheep in particular situations. And David is comforted by this. David says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What's David saying? Well, he's saying, your protective guiding hand is comforting to me. The shepherd wouldn't lead the sheep into the valley unless he needed to do so. And as he leads the sheep into the valley, he is with the sheep every step of the way. And that is a great comfort to David. I don't know whether you were interested in the Winter Olympics this year. It was held in Vancouver. And before the games began, a 21-year-old Georgian luge competitor was killed when he lost control of his luge. It was travelling at 90 miles per hour. He flew off the track and he slammed into an unpadded pillar and he died. A few months ago, me and a few friends, we went to Fort Park. And we went on a few roller coasters and they were lots of fun. Most roller coasters, I think, are sort of fun, scary. But there was this one roller coaster at Thorpe Park and we went on it. And there was no fun, it was just fear. That's all it was. And I got off that roller coaster and it ruined the whole trip for me. After that, I couldn't enjoy any rides. I had just been paralysed by fear. But what's the difference between a roller coaster and a bobsled or a luge? Well, the difference is this. That although they are both travelling at high speed, and although there are many twists and turns, and although there are many ups and downs, a bobsled or a luge can fly off the track. And yet a roller coaster, whatever twists and turns there may be, however high we may go, however low we may go, and however frightening it may be, we are always, always on the track. Christian friend, if we find ourselves in the valley, and we may go very, very low, but if we find ourselves in the valley, we can be sure that we are on God's track. We are exactly where He wants us to be. But of course, David is comforted by the presence of the shepherd, isn't he? You know, in my old church in Camberwell, we have a tradition. On the last Wednesday of the year, we have what's called a testimony meeting. And it's the only meeting in the year where there's no time limit. It can go on as late as it needs to. And what happens is people come along and they stand up at the front of the church and they give testimony to what God has done in their lives over the past year. Sometimes it's a very happy occasion, sometimes it's a very sad occasion, sometimes it's a very funny occasion. But before I was born, many years ago, my dad remembers it, there was a woman in the church, her name was Mrs. Hubbard. Mrs. Hubbard's son had died. And that year, the testimony meeting came up. And Mr. Hubbard went along to the testimony meeting, as she did every single year. And during the meeting, she stood up. And she walked to the front. And no one knew what she would say. Mrs. Hubbard just quoted the words of a famous hymn. She said, "I know that my Jesus doeth all things well." And then she went and sat back down. Mrs. Hubbard knew that however hard and however dark the valley was, that her good shepherd had led her there, and that her good shepherd was with her. You know, when my little boy Ollie, when he's afraid, he runs up to me and he grabs hold of me, because he sees in me protection. Sometimes he's wrong, sometimes I'm in no position to help, but nevertheless, Ollie runs along anyway. And of course, we can imagine a frightened little sheep doing the same thing in the valley, can't we? Here's this little sheep, and he's frightened. He's in the valley. It's dark. So what does he do? He moves closer to the shepherd. And moving closer to the shepherd, he finds comfort. The presence of the shepherd comforts him. Even when the very real prospect of death is knocking at our door, David says we can find comfort when we run to the shepherd and when we get close to him and when we nestle under his arms. Before we move on, just one last thing to say. This shepherd has led this sheep into the valley. And the shepherd has led the sheep there for a reason. But more than that, the shepherd knows where he's going, doesn't he? That sheep, although it may all be new to him, that sheep can look up at that shepherd knowing that that shepherd has been here before. And of course, when we find ourselves in those times of utter bleakness, we too can look to our good shepherd, can't we? And we can know that actually he has been here before. Think for a moment of the Garden of Gethsemane. Christ said to his disciples, he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." Christ here is in the valley, isn't he? And in the valley, Christ didn't want to be alone. And yet as he descended deeper and deeper and deeper into the valley, he does find himself alone. So much so that as Christ is on the cross, we read in Mark's Gospel, at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, "Eloi, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which is translated, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Christ has experienced the very deepest part of the valley, the very darkest part of the valley. A part of the valley that you or I, thankfully, will never have to reach. On the cross, he suffered the very terrors of hell. He suffered the deepest, darkest place you can possibly imagine. And yet, he came out the other side. And he came out victorious. Victorious over death. Victorious over sin. Victorious over Satan, having crushed his head. So much so that the Apostle Paul can say in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 55, he says, "O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory?" My good shepherd has been here before. My good shepherd has been darker and deeper than I will ever have to go. And he has come out the other side. And therefore, he will lead me through this valley. And in the light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, in the light of heaven, doesn't the valley not seem half as dark were half as deep as we first perceived it to be. Yes, the valley is a frightening place, but the shepherd is with me. And that gives me comfort. Well, let's move on then, finally, to the sheepfold. We read verse 5. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. The sheepfold was basically a large stone wall encircling a patch of ground. There was one way in and one way out. It wasn't so much a door, it was just a gap. And the shepherd would sit in that gap all night so that the sheep would be protected from any wild animals. Now, as the sheep entered the sheepfold, the shepherd would look for any who had been bruised or injured. And if he found a little sheep that had been bruised or injured, maybe butted by another sheep or such, he would take a cup of oil that he had and he would rub it into the head of the little sheep. And in fact, he would also rub oil on all the horns of the sheep so that insects didn't come onto them at night and bite them. And that's why verse 5 we read, you anoint my head with oil. These are the actions of a loving shepherd, aren't they? These are the actions of a shepherd who cares. But of course, David also says, my cup runs over. Of course, some of the sheep would be hungry. Some of the sheep would be thirsty. And therefore, food and water were provided as well. For the sheep who were thirsty, the shepherd would have a big two-handled bucket and he would take it and he would let the sheep drink from it. And that's why David can say, my cup runs over. And for the hungry, food was provided. And that's why David can say, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Table doesn't necessarily mean a piece of furniture. It simply means something spread out. So here is the sheep. And he's in the sheepfold. He is encircled by this stone wall. He has food and he has water. Outside of that wall, there are many wild animals. Outside of that wall, without the shepherd, the sheep faces certain death. But inside the sheepfold, he is safe. What does this final point in the sheepfold tell us? Well, look at verse 6. What do we read? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. These final verses are a declaration of David's confidence in his good shepherd, aren't they? He's led me through the pasture. He's led me through the valley. And therefore, when I'm in the sheepfold, I know I'm safe. Why? Because my shepherd has led me here. And therefore, David can say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. This word surely, actually, it could equally be translated only. David can look back over the trials and difficulties of his life, all of those many things that he has faced. And yet he knows his good shepherd has led him through them all. And therefore he can look to the future and he can say, only goodness and mercy shall follow me. As that hymn that we sung beforehand said, the King of love my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. Whatever circumstances of life David may face, on the run from Absalom, possibly with the loss of his kingdom, he knows in the hard times and in the good times, God's goodness is displayed in his provision and his care, and God's mercy is continually shown in the forgiveness of sins. And David is confident that this will happen all the days of his life. But of course it doesn't end there, does it? The end of verse 6. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And this is the hope for all believers, isn't it? This is the certainty that each of us have in God's word. That the good shepherd will lead me through life with all its ups and downs, and he will lead me to my eternal rest. And I will be with him for all eternity. No more long journeys. No more aching feet. No more valleys. No more dangers to face. No more long walks between food and water. No more need to worry. Because I will be home. I will be home with my Lord in his house forever. Christian friend, do you have David's confidence this morning? Are you trusting in your good shepherd? There is a wealth of contentment and peace to be found with him. Do you know what that feels like? Do you know, like David, to be in the very worst of situations and yet to say, only goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life? Christian friend, let's pray this morning that each one of us comes to know that peace and that contentment and that satisfaction that as a sheep we can have in our good shepherd. Just to say one last thing then. I was trying to think, how could I sum up all that we've heard? I think we could sum it up just by saying one thing. Here we are, we're about 100, 150 people maybe. Closer to 100 probably. Some of us are up, some of us are down. Some of us are in the pasture, some of us are in the valley. But to every single believer here, to every single member of God's flock, we can learn one overarching lesson from this passage of Scripture. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Christian friend, the good shepherd is called good for good reasons.